Okay, here we go. Week 3, Confession of Faith. Thank you for joining me. I'll pray, and then we're looking at 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, for your spirit, for life, for eternal life, for the scripture, for the truth that you've given to us. Help us in our study. It's in Christ we ask. Amen. All right. I highlighted it here because for these short videos, we have to take it out of context. But again, as I say week after week, these videos are meant to be a springboard for you for your personal study and devotions. You could use it on your own, for your family, or in a small group setting. So let's get right into it. The first week we looked at the confession, the foundational confession of the Christian life, and that is Jesus Christ is Lord. And then last week we looked at the confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his righteous life, his sacrificial death, his powerful resurrection that accomplishes our salvation. This week there are multiple things we confess here in 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6, and of course it all relates to the first week, Christ as Lord, and the second week, the gospel. This is all interrelated. We're looking at the basic Christian confession of faith. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So quickly, let's run through the different aspects of what we confess by faith to our God and to the world in which we live. There's one God. We confess that there is one God, and that's what he says here. For there is one God. We confess that. In the midst of a culture that is hostile toward that idea, toward that belief, and might say that it's irrational or illogical or exclusive or narrow-minded, we confess there is one God, the God of the Bible. We also confess, after this comma, there's one mediator between God and men. There's only one. There's only one who can mediate a proper relationship between sinful men and a holy God. He's going to tell us in just a minute. But this clause right here, the point is, there's one mediator who can bring God to man and who can bring man back into a relationship with God. One mediator, one who stands in the middle, one who can bridge the gap, one mediator between God and men. For there's one God, we confess that. And there's one mediator between God and men. We confess that. The man, Christ Jesus. So that's the one mediator. He is the bridge. He is the way to God. The man, Christ Jesus. We confess that he is a man. Jesus Christ, from a scriptural standpoint, is God and is man. And that's what enables him and qualifies him to be a proper mediator, to be the one mediator between God and men. But what this verse is emphasizing is he is a man. He is a human being, the man Christ Jesus, Christ the anointed King of God, who conquers God's enemies, who delivers God's people, who rules over the world in truth and righteousness, Christ, the anointed King, Jesus, the Lord who saves his people from his sins, the man, the human being, who is also God, Christ Jesus. We confess there's one God. We confess there's one mediator between God and men. And we confess that this one mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 6 expounds and summarizes how it is that this one mediator reconciles sinful men to a holy God. Verse 6, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. We confess that. We confess that Christ Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, is our mediator before God. He's the one mediator between God and men. By virtue of his blood sacrifice on the cross. on the basis of his blood sacrifice on a cross. Because of, there's so many ways you could say it, because of his blood sacrifice on a cross, which is referred to here as ransom, a spiritual payment, a deliverance, purchasing us out of spiritual bondage, purchasing us out of, redeeming us out of slavery to sin and death, saving us from the judgment of God. Gave himself as a ransom for all, blood sacrifice for all. And the all means no matter where you are from, no matter where you live, you can come to faith in Jesus Christ and be ransomed for God. He gave himself as a ransom for all. Under the old covenant, Israel as a nation, Israel as an earthly nation, was the chosen people of God. To them alone, the covenant promises rested, or God's promises of salvation and redemption rested on them and for them. Well, now those promises, the promises of salvation, are for all people. Gave himself as a ransom for all. So in case you thought it, that this it would be universalism here when you read that, get that thought far, far from your mind. That is unbiblical to the core. It is something that some have used this verse to teach and to advocate for universalism, and that's not true. And this verse is not teaching that. Which is the testimony given at the proper time? Which is the testimony given at the proper time? And that's a way of saying that God is sovereign over how he does things, when he does things, what he does in the first place. He didn't call a committee meeting of world leaders to see when would be the right time to do this. No, he does all things in accordance with his plan and purpose based on his infinite wisdom. And so we confess there's one God. No matter what the world says, we confess there's one God. And there's only one mediator between God and men. No matter how much the world would laugh at you or make fun of you or not understand that, and maybe it'll take some teaching and explaining and maybe personal study for you, but there's one mediator between God and men. And just as a side note, Christianity is not the only religion or faith system that has exclusivity as a part of it. Every belief system has an exclusivity to it. Even moral relativism, or some sort of postmodernism, that at first would say something like this: well, there's no right and wrong, there's no absolute truth. What's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me. They say that, but if you push even just a little bit, what you'll find out is they believe that only that worldview is true, and any worldview or belief that contradicts that is not true. And so it's self-defeating, it's contradictory. So the exclusivity of Christianity is not something that you need to fear or think is unique to Christianity. There are beliefs to Christianity that are unique and that are not shared by other faiths. But just the general concept of being exclusive, that this is true and these other things are not, that's not unique. That's very common. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, and here it is again, the man Jesus Christ. And hopefully, and it should work this way, that all of these confession of faith each week in one way or another will circle back to Jesus Christ. This is the foundational confession that we began with in week one, Jesus Christ is Lord. And I said something to the effect during that first video of this, that anything else we confess falls underneath that category. That's the grand category. And everything else is a subcategory. That doesn't mean everything else is unimportant or peripheral, but it flows from this: Jesus Christ is Lord. And anything else we say, anything else we pursue or want to live for, is related to that in some way to give it meaning and to give it life and a richness. Okay, well, that's Confession of Faith, week 3. Hope to see you next week. God bless.